Let's talk about guilt trips. How good are narcissists at guilt trips? I don't know about you, but as I was going through my own narcissistic abuse, I found myself on so many guilt trips that I probably should have had a passport full of stamps.
You ever find yourself feeling sorry for the narcissist? Whether they've discarded you or you left them, do you ever find yourself feeling like, I want to help that person, or it's not their fault, they're a narcissist, anything like that? Well, it's normal to feel that way. I mean, the fact is that if you're a caring person, if you care about how someone feels, if you have compassion in your heart, you're going to naturally want to help another person. And chances are, if you spent any amount of time with a narcissist, you might have developed certain fondnesses for them or certain attachments to them that are normal, not to mention the whole trauma bonding factor. If you are an empath, you might even kind of feel their pain a little bit, right? And by nature, you just kind of want to help them out. You want to help them feel better. You want to help them do better. In fact, part of the reason you might have stayed in the relationship as long as you did is because you thought that you could help them feel better. You thought you could help them be better, be healthier. You felt sorry for them. And the fact of the matter is that you're not outside of normal for feeling that way. But what you have to remember is you're not dealing with a standard person. You're dealing with a toxic narcissist.
Chances are, if you've been with a narcissist, you've been on a guilt trip or two, right? In case you don't know what I'm talking about, that's when someone tries to make you feel bad for something you did or didn't do. And very often, it's something that you shouldn't feel guilty about. With a narcissist, it can be something as small as eating something they left in the fridge and thought they would have later, even if it belonged to you. It's all about controlling your behavior. It's a clear form of psychological manipulation and just one more way that narcissists try to maintain control over their victims. Now, maybe some guilt trips are a little harmless and they're things like parents do to keep their kids in control. Like if your mother made soup and then you didn't like the soup and she said, "Ah, why wouldn't you eat my soup? I slaved over a hot stove all day." Or if your cousin was getting married and you couldn't make it to the wedding, then your grandma might say, "Oh, well, that's fine. I guess your family doesn't really matter to you anyway, huh?" Things like that. Now, that's annoying and it feels yucky, but it's not really that big of a deal unless it's a regular occurrence. A lot of toxic families use guilt trips to get what they want from the people in the family. They often succeed, but as we know, there's a price to pay for a guilt trip as a family member who's going through that. But when we're talking about a narcissist, they are relentless with it, and very often they use guilt trips to control every single thing you do, say, feel, and think. It's exhausting. Some people will tell you that guilt trips are harmless, and they can be harmless depending on how they're being doled out, right? But what they do is they create resentment in relationships. And when resentment is involved on either side, it's negative. It's toxic and it can build increasing stress and tension in any relationship, healthy or otherwise.
A group of researchers published a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The study results were quite interesting. We're talking about a very specific quality that someone has or doesn't have. And if you can determine this, it will help you know whether or not that person is trustworthy. And it's kind of maybe a little obvious, but something that we never thought of before. So let's talk about it. So this study determined, I hope you're sitting down for this, that one quality, guilt proneness, can help you understand whether someone's going to be trustworthy or not. Apparently, someone having the ability to have a guilt trip, to be guilted, to feel guilty at all, or even anticipating feeling guilty so they don't do something, this is an indication of trustworthiness, according to these researchers. And apparently, it's a powerful one.
Now, there are a number of reasons that you might feel sorry for a narcissist. Maybe you think to yourself, well, narcissistic personality disorder is an actual personality disorder, so therefore they can't help their behavior. And you might have done your research and you might know that most of the time narcissists become narcissists in childhood. And often that's due to some sort of neglect or abuse that they experienced as kids. Not always. Sometimes it's just parents who don't require them to have consequences and who don't give them the type of positive reinforcement that is necessary to sort of grow as a person. They don't give them consequences or they don't have boundaries. So when you think about that and you think about the fact that, okay, they may have come from a tragic background and maybe they don't really understand what they're doing. And then you think about the fact that they're kind of emotionally toddlers, if we're being honest, maybe preteens if they're lucky. But then you forget about the fact that they are so really, really good at manipulation. And then there's the big kicker that they're incredibly cruel, very often to the people closest to them. We know that narcissists use a lot of different manipulation tactics and strategies to sort of get what they want from us and other people around them. They play the blame game. They shame you. They belittle you. They insult you. They deny the truth about themselves or project their bad qualities onto you. They deflect. They gaslight. They act like they're the victim. They lie. They terrorize you. They compete with you. They criticize you. They manipulate. They go over every single boundary you've ever had in your whole life. They do the narcissistic flip and the narcissistic whirl. They come at you with narcissistic injury and narcissistic rage. There are no limits to what a narcissist might do to get what they want. And then you have those kind-hearted souls. I was one of them, who think, maybe I can help this person. Maybe I can help them to heal and become a better version of themselves, or I can see the good in there somewhere. So maybe there's something I can do to change this for them. You have to remember that narcissists are really, really good at drawing a person in. They're really good at making you feel responsible for their feelings. They do the whole cycle, the idealization or love bombing, where they are all about flattering you and praising you and putting you up on a pedestal. They suddenly love you, or whoever they're throwing the love bomb at that day. They often commit early, unless they're that non-committal type, in which case, once they get what they want from you, they immediately devalue and discard you. But many narcissists, in fact, most likely the one that you're here about today, they're in for the long game. They do the cycle of idealize, devalue, discard, hoover, or they suck you back in over and over again. And many times this goes on for decades in relationships. But you can't feel sorry for a narcissist, even though it's tempting to do so, especially when they play the victim after the end of the relationship or even during the relationship.
You might have a lot of guilt, fear, obligation, things like this that are going on inside your head when you try to go into contact with a narcissist, whether it's a romantic situation or a family situation or even a friend or a coworker situation. You still might find yourself going, I feel kind of guilty about it. I feel kind of gross about it. I don't like the way it feels. I wouldn't want someone to do this to me.
So let's talk about this study. Researchers came together from Carnegie Mellon, University of Pennsylvania, and University of Chicago Business Schools. And they wanted to know specifically what personality traits will help people determine whether someone's trustworthy. They measured traits like openness, agreeableness, how neurotic someone was, conscientiousness, guilt proneness, extroversion, things like that. The researchers figured out that being guilt-prone would more positively indicate that someone is trustworthy above literally any other quality that was checked. One of the researchers, Emma Levine, said that people who are more guilt-prone tend to feel more responsibility for other people. And that was exactly what the study determined. I would tend to say that when we tend to feel guilt-prone, we tend to feel responsibility for other people. We're also feeling responsibility for other people's feelings.
How do you find your way out of the fear, the obligation, and the guilt that come along with the idea of going no contact? We tend to think to ourselves, well, if somebody did this to me, I would feel devastated. Or we think it's so selfish to do the no contact rule. We want to know, why is it not like morally wrong for us to literally do to them what they've done to us in so many different ways? And that is to discard them. Who are we to discard that person? We're talking about someone who blatantly, openly does not care how you feel. We're talking about someone who has no empathy for you and who makes it very obvious in the way that they treat you.
Why is it so important that we don't feel sorry for the narcissist? Well, it's simple. When we feel sorry for the narcissist, we open ourselves for further disrespect, further manipulation, further control, further abuse, victimization, rejection. It increases our trauma bond. It makes everything harder.
Basically, narcissists disrespect you on every single level. They break all your boundaries. They disrespect you as a human being. In fact, they don't even really see you as a whole person. So my answer to people who are like, well, is it morally unethical to go no contact? Is no, because narcissists don't respect you in a relationship. Therefore, you don't owe them that respect. When you're in a relationship with a narcissist, they don't show you any concern, empathy, anything.
So look, if you can't just completely let go of the need to feel sorry for that person, then at least do it from a distance. I like to look at it like this. Yes, narcissistic personality disorder is in fact a real thing. It's a personality disorder. However, I like to see it as a limitation. For me, it's always been about recognizing that I was not the problem in that situation. Even though I was never perfect in any relationship, even though I made my own mistakes, I know in my heart of hearts that I did the best I could. And I also know that the behavior of narcissists is not normal. Normal people don't act that way. It's true.
Everybody has their own sense of what's right and what's wrong, their own ethics. And that's why, as an empath, you sometimes go, is it morally okay for me to really just drop this person and go no contact? It's understandable, because if someone did that to you, you would see it as morally wrong, and it would be. Bear with me, I'm getting there. But here's the thing. Is it not morally wrong to come into a person's life, promise the world, promise everything, act like you're that person's soulmate, put them up on a pedestal, and make them feel better than they've ever felt, and and then knock them off that pedestal every 5 minutes, discard them after devaluing them and treating them like they don't matter, and then spend the rest of your life doing that same thing in cycles throughout the relationship? Is that not morally wrong? To show you this wonderful person at the beginning and then devalue you and discard you once they get to know you better? Is that not morally wrong? Is it morally wrong for this person to be in a relationship with you and enjoy everything that you do for them and yet not even give back just a little bit? Look, there's nothing morally wrong with you standing up for yourself and insisting on being respected. And unfortunately, when it comes to a narcissist, that is no contact. You will not be respected by a narcissist consistently, only when it's convenient for them. Going no contact with a narcissist allows you the only avenue to let go of that disrespect.
It's never okay to negate a victim of abuse, and this includes narcissists. It's never okay to tear someone down. And yes, that person maybe on some level felt that they didn't have a choice or didn't consciously choose to be a narcissist. And as someone who cares about other people, it makes sense to me that you would feel some sort of almost ache in your gut, in your soul, to reach out to that broken person we call a narcissist, to want to help them. I get it. Trust me. I've been there. But we have to remember this. The narcissist, yes, many of them were broken. They experienced bad things in childhood, many of them. But you probably also experienced certain traumas in your life. And that doesn't give you the right to be horrible to other people, nor does it give the narcissist the right. You can feel sorry about what they went through as kids. You can feel sorry about what it was that brought them to this point in their life. But you have to recognize that as adults, we have choices. We can choose to be complete jerks and not care about how anyone feels, or we can choose to evolve as people and change ourselves and do better for ourselves. The narcissist that you're dealing with is now an adult. It's a person who is actively pursuing and pushing that abuse cycle. Whether it's conscious or otherwise, they're doing it actively. They are no longer helpless. They are, in fact, inflicting abuse on people around them, sometimes almost for sport. Just remember this. While many narcissists have gone through difficult childhoods, like I said, or have some sort of trauma that led them to becoming a narcissist, most people who get involved with narcissists long-term also went through some sort of trauma growing up, also went through something that brought them to the point of becoming codependent and becoming the sort of person who would continue to try to help a person who's actively abusing them. It doesn't make you wrong or bad. It just gives you a little perspective. You could have chosen to become a narcissist. You could have become the sort of person who stopped caring how other people felt, but you didn't. Why is it that two people who went through the same sort of trauma can become two completely different people? Why is it that one becomes a narcissist and the other doesn't? Well, it's because they chose it. They chose to become a decent person. You chose to become a decent person. You took the bad things that happened to you and you turned them around and you learned how to give back to other people. You learned how to, maybe as a parent, to treat your children with love and respect and like they're individual people. Or maybe as a spouse, to treat that person like they matter, like they're worth your time. The narcissist didn't do that. They didn't make that choice. And that's not your fault. You need to stop feeling sorry for them.
And yes, their actions frequently contradict with what they say. And that's what you have to look at as their actions, in addition to the words, of course, because the verbal abuse that comes along with being with a narcissist can be very painful. Here's the thing. You look at the situation, you go, well, I'm an adult. I allowed this to happen. It's all my fault. No, it's not your fault. It would be your fault if you chose to remain in that situation, knowing what you know and not doing anything differently. Then you could take a certain amount of responsibility. But the truth is, most of us don't come up knowing how to deal with people like this. We aren't in a situation to understand instantly, this is a narcissist, this person has no empathy, because it doesn't make sense to us. I mean, we are wired to react to emotion. We are wired to understand how other people feel and care about how other people feel. Narcissists are not. That is practically foreign to us. That's why we're so confused by it. And that's why we so often think, oh my gosh, I can totally help fix this person, which is why we stick around for so long in some cases.
I'm not here to tear down the narcissist. I'm not here to tell you that you can't care about how they feel. I just want you to understand, it's not your responsibility to feel sorry for the narcissist. You didn't do anything to them. And even if you reactively did something or shouted a name at them or whatever, if you did something in reaction to their abuse that made you feel bad about yourself, you must recognize it for what it is. You can only put up with so much. I have a better option for you. The next time that you find yourself feeling sorry for the narcissist, I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to turn that energy, that compassion, that love, that concern
back toward yourself. You deserve to be treated with that much love and respect. You deserve to care that much about how you feel. And maybe you've never done that before in your life, but it's time. It's time for you to let go of those feelings of sorrow, of those feelings of inadequacy, of those feelings of just not being enough. And what better way to do that than to turn that energy that you've spent feeling sorry for the narcissist and feeling bad for them and trying to help them be a better person and a better self back onto yourself? Give yourself that love. Give yourself that energy. Make yourself happy for once. What do you say? Are you with me?
So there are certain things you can do to limit your guilt trip compliance, right? So let's talk about that. With someone who isn't a narcissist, you can take simple steps, like explain to them that you want to do what they want you to do, or you would like to, but you can't for whatever reason. And then explain to them that when they use the guilt trip tactic against you, it makes you feel resentful. You could ask them nicely to explain their wishes more clearly, and then you can give them a respectful answer. And you will need to probably remind them as time goes on to communicate with you differently, because people who do this have been doing it most of their lives in many cases, and or they were taught by a parent to do it. It's a learned and habitual type of behavior. But when we're talking about narcissists, guess what the answer is? It's gray rock. You cannot fall for the guilt trip. If they see one chink in your armor, they're going to poke it until it busts open. And so instead of allowing them to control, manipulate, and attack you, well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to not react or respond. And as always, let me just say, in the meantime, be working on your exit plan to get out of there.
This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever felt sorry for a narcissist? Share your thoughts, share your experiences, share your ideas in the comment section below, and let's talk about it.
As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. And before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.